let's put in the input, like, God is with you. Do you understand? God is with you. All the chants, all the songs that bubbles out of your spirit. God is backing you. I saw it on a larger scale today. On a larger scale. With all sort of manifestations of the spirit.
Amen.
So let's push it. That's what I was saying. Let's push it. Oh, you don't believe this one too?
We believe.
I believe. This when you are telling people things, you have to be careful because you don't know whether they'll get anointed for even saying something that is good. Some people are like that. You tell them something, they will get annoyed for saying.
Mess.
When did that
start? Ah, it happens.
So this church is like.
Imagine me telling Pastor Israel I'm a preacher. The Pastor Israel will tell me that, oh no, me, I'm born a preacher.
Ah, a preacher.
Don't belittle my calling. Son of God. But take it seriously. As I'm talking, ideas are coming into your head. Like, you know, you are getting the pictures. The people that you are thinking about. Exactly, that was the picture that I was seeing. Yes, that was the picture. And it was just amazing. And it was on a very, very larger scale. And I know God is doing something. And God would want to take us really, really far. And I thank God that before you even spoke about, you need to even learn more. Like, everybody has to learn more.
It's true.
Yes. Everybody has to learn more. And then we need to know that God is with us. God is backing us. And then to all of us, let's be watchmen. Hallelujah. Let's be watchmen. Some of you, God has positioned you like pillars. You know, you are holding. You see, when they are building, there's long buildings. You see, they arrange metals. So people build the metals and then they stand on it and then they work. Some of you are like that. You are like that. So know your place and hold firm whatever God has given to you. Some of us also easily get distracted. Don't be thinking too much. What God has spoken is real. It will surely happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for such a beautiful morning. But thank you for the gift of salvation, the blessing of resurrection in the name of Jesus. But thank you for making us sons in your kingdom. But thank you for making us a voice to our generation. But thank you for the experience of your spirit. And Lord, we pray that you continuously teach us, you take us deeper into you. You give us depth understanding in the name of Jesus. May we grow. May we increase in the knowledge of you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. So take the words seriously. Take the word seriously. Sometimes the intensity with which we receive the words, it really, really matters. Imagine whatever God was showing the apostle, let's say John in the book of Revelation. Imagine he didn't document it. Let's say that he had a dream or he started having visions and he didn't take note of. Those, oh, it's not important. The ordinary believer has trivialized many, many things. And because of that, our communication with God seems so less, because we don't have a document. We don't have a documentary of what He has been speaking all this while. So you realize that when God is revealing something to men, He tells them, write them down. Write it down. God helped us to write it down. It's not my main message, but I'm telling you a few things. Write the things down. Sometimes you think that, I'll remember. There are many things you will not remember until you have documented it. And even when you are reading it, you will not remember that this was shown to you sometimes, because of the volatile nature of it. Write the things down. We find ourselves in an era of the Spirit, and if you trivialize the manifestation of the Spirit, you are likely not to see them in your life. You are likely not to see them in your ministry. So write them down, whatever guidance that God is giving you. Write them down. I'm talking about how God communicates with you in your closet. Note them down. Documentation. Without it, you think we are going to have the Scriptures? So that all Scripture is God breathed. He said, holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Write it down. And always go back, make reference to the Word. Are you here with me? Okay, let's begin. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. So let's read from Galatians 3, verse 1, 2, 6. I read. It said, oh foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith? Let's continue. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. So God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you here with me?
Yes.
So we all know the storyline in the book of Galatians, and why Paul was trying to address certain things. It was in that same scripture, that same portion of scripture, that he started speaking about how his life is fully dedicated to the Lord, and he does not possess a life of his own.
But
he lives by the faith of the Son of God, who loved him and gave himself for him. He really personalized the whole salvation experience. He said, "The one who loved me and gave himself for me." Why do you think the Apostle Paul went as far as he did? Why do you think he was so particular about issues concerning the grace of God, concerning faith in the Lord Jesus, concerning the grace of God and the law and all that? First and foremost, we know about the history of the apostle. He thought he was serving the Lord in the first place, and he served the Lord with the wrong mindset, and he did it very, very, very well. His intensity when he was in the other religion was as strong as when he believed. Hallelujah. And because of that, he happens to have been one that really experienced what the forgiving grace of God is. Let me ask you a question. Imagine someone has killed a neighbor of yours, or not even a neighbor, a relative or a father or a mother. If somebody kills your neighbor, what will you do? He or she deserves what? Justice. This man is one that has really experienced what the forgiveness of God is. I know one preacher, he said this. He said, "Look, many people have not really meditated on the salvific work. Many people have not really meditated on what we call redemption. You know, we are Christians. You can, oh yes, we in our school, okay, you learn redemption, you learn sanctification, you learn all the justification, like basic things, born again, righteousness, but you have not really meditated upon it. If you got it very well, there will be something different about your response. Hallelujah. So many of us have received on a shallow level, just having a fair idea of what has actually gone on. We all know the story. This was the man that imprisoned as many as he could. This was the man that supported the arrest, persecuted, murdered, all in the name of the Lord that he was. And when he looked at eternal purpose of God for his life, this is how he put it. "God, who is it, or the God that actually separated me from my mother's womb." You know, he understood the predestination of God concerning his life. When he was awakened to that reality, he realized the need for diversion. Amen. The moment he was awakened to the truth, he realized the need for what? A diversion. complete turnaround. And he came to acknowledge the fact that his vessel no longer belongs to him. He was a living sacrifice unto the Lord. He completely belongs to the Lord. Where was that coming from? You know, when it came to the apostleship, we knew that the foundational apostles were there. And then later, Paul had to come in after his encounter with the Lord. So he wasn't originally, let's say, part of them. But God made a way, and Paul was introduced. God had his own mind and purpose for the Apostle Paul. This was someone that wasn't part of them when they were in the upper room. He wasn't part of them when they were at the table. He wasn't part of them. In fact, that time that all those things was happening, he was fully against them. He wasn't part of them. But look at what happened. Yet when you look through the scriptures, what does he say concerning his life? He said, he labored more abundantly than they all. It wasn't boasting. If there was a way to measure. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He said, I labored more abundantly. Why? What was the secret? He linked it up to the grace of God. And this grace of God is not about you saying, oh, okay, that is his grace that is given to him. But you look at it very well. The grace of the Lord is made available to every man. Is it not made available to every man? He's calling every man. So there's a place where he says, Charlie, your grace is uncommon. Like, let's say Israel's special grace. Maybe that grace with serving the Lord with his IT or serving the Lord with his music or something. That's not what we are talking. We are talking about a common grace that was made available. But you realize that there was a certain kind of mindset and value that gentleman placed on the grace of God. You've heard the statement, come, buy, and eat without money. Have you heard that statement before? It's biblical. Come, buy, eat without money. How can you come and buy and then eat without money? If you have been given the chance to buy, not thinking about what is in your pocket, how much can you buy? That was the mindset of that man. You see, he saw the same thing that has been done for every man. The same web of salvation. He acknowledged deeply the grace of God upon his life. Because if it was according to human standards, he is rather supposed to be shy. Like, actually, I killed the members of the church. I persecuted the church. So if I've converted, let me convert in silence and then serve my God in silence. But he acknowledged that he was nothing. He cared not about his reputation. And it is one of the reasons why that thing really worked out for him. No wonder he really thought about the grace of God. He said, did you receive the promise of the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And the one who worketh miracles among you, does he work them by the works of the law or by or through faith? See, there is a certain mindset that God has to, I don't know, break down. Like, you need to allow the Spirit of God to break it down in you. And the moment you capture it, the way the Spirit of God will want you to capture it, you realize that you are going to flow with it. Why do you think we call the gifts of the Spirit, why do you think we call it charismata? Charismata. Charisma. Charismata. Because gifts of grace. Hallelujah. So the one that will be able to appreciate the grace of God more, he'll be so surprised. The extent of his manifestation. I'm teaching you how to receive grace. Receiving grace is not that, okay, God gave me plenty grace. No, no, no. But there's the, what value or what level of acknowledgement do you place on it? You know the two people that Jesus gave testimony of that he has not found such a great faith in all of Israel. What did they do? Like, they purely acknowledged the grace of God upon their life. No matter how Jesus tried to ignore the woman. In fact, someone will say that, I came to Jesus, but Jesus is not a humble crowd. Like, we are everybody's following you, everybody needs healing from you, and you are calling me a dog. You know, someone who can take it like that. He called me a dog, and it will become an offense. Oh, this pastor called me a dog, it will be all over the media. I wonder if Jesus was in our days, social media. So, hey, this preacher, Pastor Sam has called someone a dog. Oh, what did he say? Jesus has called someone a dog. What did he say? He said, the crumbs that fall on the table. Yes, the dog still eat. The woman was not willing to, like, she was not ready to be rejected. And she seemed to understand the grace of God. She seemed to understand the heart of Jesus. He didn't think that's an insult. Many people get offended in churches because of statements and all of that. And it's one of the reasons why sometimes they are blessing. They delay their blessing. This is very practical. Think. It's very, very practical. Things that people are not even supposed to be offended about. People easily get offended. And when you start to get offended, offense is like, how do you call it? It's like a trap. Hallelujah. When you go to the root meaning of it, it's like a trap. So you are the one that is offended, and you think that you should be apologized, like the one who offended you should come and apologize to you. But in the long run, you have actually trapped yourself. Like, you entered into that entrapment. And sometimes, because it's a trap, have you seen an animal caught up in a trap before? You set up trap for big crabs, or set up trap for how they got deer or something when you fall into the trap. Unless the farmer would want to, or the hunter want to have mercy, but I don't think any hunter has mercy on. No. So when you allow yourself to get offended, you yourself, you become like a stumbling block. Or you know, the person that you think has offended is even moving with a free spirit, his free mind, and you are there having all the agitations in your heart, saying all the things in your head. You are not even polite enough to say, oh, let's address the issue. Then the person will realize that, oh, this is what I've even done to you. I believe it was less spiritual people who said that Jesus called me a dog and he told me to become something. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't look good. Let's look at the reality. You've gone to the Lord for something, a service for healing. He said, oh, this service there is not for the dogs. No, let's be real. Let's imagine the reality, like what is happening. We are not trying to say, oh, it's Bible story. No, no, no. Be real. You've come to me. Hobby has come to me. He wants me to pray for him. So my anointing is not for the dogs. Oh, my anointing is not for the pigs. I've called you a pig. Many people get offended. And because of that, you are not able to experience the blessing. I have seen many like that. Things we are not supposed to get offended about. Tell everybody you need virtue.
You need virtue.
Tell everybody, be virtuous. Then look into the eyes of the neighbor, tell your neighbor, drop that anger problem. If you have anger issues, drop it now. Stop getting offended. So let's look at it. Who was in need? The woman was in need. You need your healing. You need a service. So if you need your service, you will come in humility to receive the service. But if you have come and the person has insulted you in a way, you still need the service. So it's the person that can do that service. So what will you do? Are you going to say, I don't need your service, let me go and die? That means you are proud. So the woman demonstrated a lot of humility. He still accepted. But she got whatever she had to get. The other man, he said, Pastor, don't worry yourself traveling there. Me, I'm a soldier. I tell people, do this, do that, and they quickly do. So don't travel miles to come. Just at your word. This one, even he's saying this, the way to make Jesus believe in himself,
like that he can.
That's your word. His approach was different. It's different from Martha and this one, Lazarus' experience. Oh, Master, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. Oh, see the difference. He said, just speak a word, just say a word. So there are many things that we need to understand in our journey, in our walk with God. Dealing with some of these things. Some of the things that we call offenses. You know, people live all their lives offended at something that happened. Like just one issue.
Some
Are you need? Has the person not saved you or not referred your how do you call it? The stress. You know it was stress, but you just decided to take, you didn't invite me. Meanwhile, if he had properly invited you, you would have had genuine reasons not to come. Instead of you acknowledging that, even if you had told me, I wouldn't have made it, and take it like that. You are rather turning the thing around. Creating offense, generational offense. Sometimes things which are not. Look, don't be thinking too much. Let your mind be free. Let your mind be free. Or else when you go back, I'm giving you homework. Go and study about offenses. Go and look at the root word. Then, maybe next week, we'll all share what we want to learn about it. You broke that favor or that blessing that is coming to you. There is that, I've been so surprised, like, when people, somebody told me that, you did it. Oh, really? Ooh. And all this while, I don't even know what is it. You have no idea. Look, you are believers. I'm teaching you. This practical living. Some believers are very, very difficult, and that's the cause of their problem. Very, very difficult people. Don't be that difficult. If the apostles, upon hearing the conversion of Paul, decide to take offense, is that not the guy that killed us? Is he not coming to spy and then come to, like, no, we can't trust him? But rather, what did he do? They gave him the right hand of fellowship. And then what? Another thing that they did, is that what? They glorified their God. They didn't tag him as the murderer. It was Paul that saw himself that he's the worst of all sinners. Because he persecuted the church. He's the least amongst the apostles. Almost everywhere he appears to be the least. But remember, in the other side of him, he was at the peak of everything. When it came to the persecution of the church, he said amongst his fellows or amongst his colleagues that were all persecuting the church, he was number one. If it came to what he studied or the school he attended or the professor that mentored him, he studied amongst the best. Whatever it comes to, if you are talking about you're a superior citizen or you have, how do you call it? To our citizenship, you've naturalized, you've done this. He had it. When it comes to religion or where you belong to, then he had it. But the moment he converted this man, you see, I'm not saying that you should understand the grace of God. I'm not saying that, you should belittle yourself. No. Rather, you are taking out anything called human effort. Human effort cannot really do anything much. It can't do anything much. It can only do what it can do on the earth. I mean, what people are doing. Basic principles of life. Follow this, follow that, follow that. That's what your human effort can do. But when we are talking about things that God can do with a man, it is only God that can do. So now, in that category, the less human you become, or the less powerful you become as a man, the more gracious his word operates in your life. And that is the secret of Paul's ministry. Someone who never was. walk with Jesus, he never had a relationship, that physical relationship that they had. And yet, Peter can boldly tell you that Charlie, the guy is deep. We do not know why Peter said it. He will tell you clearly that the guy is deep. And many of the things he says, it is difficult to understand. We don't know whether Peter was even still maybe trying to get it, or it took him a while to get it. Or he was cautioning the others that, okay, yes, the guy is deep, so just know that the things he will teach sometimes is very difficult to understand. He acknowledged it. And when you look at the storyline, when you look at the attitude of the Apostle Paul, the moment he had that encounter, this man was essential of the one that he had met. This man all of a sudden separated himself. He wants to really know the one that he has encountered. He wasn't like those that, oh, we walk with him. We walk with him. We eat with him. We talk with him. He didn't have that experience. But his desire to know him really led him into many, many, many things. He said, I lived more abundantly than they all. Why? Because this man acknowledged the grace of God that was given him. Can you decide in this season of your life that you are going to really acknowledge the grace of God in your life? You just want to fly on that wings of grace. You see, there is the possibility when the flesh comes in, there is the possibility to stand, fall away from the grace. He said, who has bewitched you? Did you receive the promise of the Spirit? Did you receive it through the words of the Lord? No. Paul wanted to teach them that you came to the Lord through this experience of his grace, through faith in whatever God has been ministering to us. He said, be mindful of those that will lead you back into bondage. Last week I was explaining something to you. There's a whole lot of controversy in their time. The controversy was about circumcision, physical circumcision. I don't know if you know that a lot of the whites, they are not even circumcised. Is that what? Okay. A lot of the whites are not even circumcised. Or maybe now they circumcise them. Okay. I know. I've seen people, a lot of people that are not circumcised. Like, a lot of people. Maybe it's in this part of our world that we really are not circumcised. And some too, they get circumcised when they are adults, like Papa Abraham. Imagine as you're an adult then people come and spy out your liberty, you are not circumcised. Actually, you have to cut off your the foreskin. Hey, what is that? You are taking me back again into bondage. I've lived all my life without circumcision. Now that I've come to the Lord Jesus, you are telling me that I should go and what? circumcised. No, I'm not Father Abraham. We're not saying circumcision is good. It is good or bad. No. But understand the point. The whole thing here is that it was a demand. I mean, we all know the seal of the covenant that the Lord had with Abraham. And circumcision was the main thing. So it became a common practice, and I think now we are all circumcising in order. We give very good advantages to it. That if you're not circumcised, it have us gems and all that. So it's all good. It's all good and all that. But let me just put yourself into the guys. Imagine this your age. After I led you to Christ Jesus, and I said, I need to cut off all of your foreskin. How many of you allow that? Or under anesthesia? That time there was no anesthesia like that too. I'm going to cry. Okay, so basically, these people have received the word of the Lord. We know that salvation is the grace of God and all that. But then there were some kind of teachers that infiltrated their space. And these guys had a Jewish background. And now they were now trying to force the people to go back or to... they were forcing the people to go into circumcision. Or else that means they are still not complete when it comes to their salvation. So Paul was saying that, you guys, what is happening? Are you guys going back into bondage? Is it not bondage? It's like you're going back to the law. If we say salvation is by the grace of God and grace alone, then why are we now trying to seal the salvation with a cutting away of what? That was how serious that was. So what was
his advice?
He said, no, this is a
punishment.
It's what? A punishment. Then he had to give a lot of references from their salvation to healings to miracles and how all those things occur. That is it by the demands of the law as they are claiming right now, or it is purely by the Spirit of God, purely by the grace of God, and purely by the faith of God. Are we now going back into bondage? Hallelujah. And the moment, you see, the moment now you begin to go into bondage, it has what it produces. Because now they have led you, okay, you have to do this. You have to circumcise. By the time you realize you are now going fully under the law which actually you came out of. It is a reason why when you look at the whole thing of Galatians, he tries to really explain a lot about the grace of God and then the law. You cannot go back into what? Bondage. You did not receive the promise of the Spirit by any work of the law, but purely by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Galatians 5.
Paul was
warning them about the corruption Galatians 5:11. I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion, the flesh.
But I love by love.
Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled
in one word.
Even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. So the other time I was explaining something to you. So there is a significance of what we call circumcision. Hallelujah. I gave you the Ezekiel experience or the circumcision simply means the cutting off. Hallelujah. So you cut off. But then there's what circumcision actually depicts in the spirit. Hallelujah. It is less of a dealing with the flesh, as in this flesh, the body, and more of dealing with the body of sin. Are you getting it? This is good. Remember, if you don't take care, the words can be used interchangeably, but you need to understand the concepts behind them. So Paul was trying to explain to them, when it comes to matters of circumcision, we are talking about the heart. Remember, the Old Testament was more of like a shadow. It foreshadows what is to come, which is the New Testament. New Testament is the reality. Okay. So, now Ezekiel spoke about an experience where God said that he's going to remove the stony heart out of men, and then he's going to replace it with what? With a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. And what will he do? Then he said he will put his spirit in them. See, as he goes, those times, so when New Testament had not come, but he was talking, he's a prophet, I mean, talking about all these things, prophesying. So now he makes reference. He now begins to teach them the deep truth behind some of these things, that it is not even about bondage. It is not even about whether obeying the laws or not obeying the laws. No, that experience is depicting what happened to us in the Lord Jesus. How he took away the stony heart. And then he replaced it with a heart that is responsive to his spirit. He was talking about a change of what? Heart. And now, because of that, we are now capable of bearing what we call the fruits of the spirit. Amen. He spoke about a little leaven leavened the whole lamp. And I've explained to you what leaven means already. So you might think that, oh, it's just on the surface. Oh, it's just this. Oh, let them just do this. Paul was very strict about some of these things, to the point that he needed to be so firm, even amongst believers. If it is really the grace of God, then let us not be hypocritical about the grace of God. If it is the grace of God, let it be the grace of God. But we shouldn't pretend as if, okay, as we are seeing people from where we came from, you are seeing Judaizers, or you are seeing people that worshipped in your previous faith, then you start acting as if, oh, you are not part of the people that are risen. No. If it is the grace of God, it must be the grace of God, and it should be made more plain. That was the importance of the Pauline revelation. Like, it is also so important. Imagine Paul had not come into the scene. Do you know what would be happening right now? We'll be having Jewish believers, and then we'll be having Gentile believers. If Paul had not come to the scene to bring clarity, now many of the Gentile believers will now be forced by the Jewish believers to now be under the bondage of the law, because they themselves did not have clarity, did not have much understanding. Despite the fact that Peter was the one that God showed, I mean, concerning the salvation of the Gentiles and even the salvation experience of the household of Cornelius. Upon all that, still, do you get it? There has to be someone that could decode, that could understand, that could unveil the mysteries from what? The Old Testament. And make it understandable to everybody. Paul was a very, very important figure in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. If it were not so, maybe today, before we entered this place, we'll be doing ablution. Probably, maybe we'll do ablution. Maybe we'll be practicing all sort of things by now. What is the goal? The goal is that it is the grace of God alone. Hallelujah. And if any man would want to operate to the highest of his God-given potential or God-given ability, there must be complete reliance on the grace of God. And how do we say that we are completely reliant on the grace of God? It is the value you place on that thing that determines your purchasing power. In this instance, it's not what you are carrying in your hands. It's not from you. It's like the value you place on that thing. So I place so much value on the grace of God. I place so much value on the Spirit of God. I place so much value on what He has done for us. Such a person will not even be troubled about the cares of this world. And so many things. So many things that will bring the ordinary person under pressure or under depression or any other problems in his life. Somebody who really understood or who really understands the grace of God will not even be bothered. Why? Because it's not a burden. The other time I made a statement concerning the thorn in the flesh of Paul. When we say you have a thorn in your flesh, how many of you have been hit by a thorn before? Like you've been pierced by a thorn before. I'm not talking about a small thorn in the grass that you hit and you think, no, thorn really entering into your... It is not a cool experience at all. But whatever the case is, the thorn in the flesh was not really made known to us. What he said is, okay, it was a message of Satan sent to trouble him. He also refers it to as an infirmity. We are not able to figure it out. But I believe that it is openly, like it is made open so that at least when it comes to the weaknesses of men, we have diverse areas of the weaknesses of men so that everybody can relate to the grace of God according to your own experience. He said, three times have I prayed that this may be taken away. Is it not God that told us that his ears are open unto the prayers of the righteous? His ears are open unto the prayers of the righteous. He hears us when we pray. But he said he prayed three times. This time, not anybody, that somebody that knows and understands that he's not even relying upon himself. He said, Lord, your grace alone, like God, take this thing away from me. Lord, it's a burden. I'm suffering. It's a weakness. It's an infirmity. Three times have I sought the grace of God. And the only answer that he gave is that his grace is sufficient for me. His grace is what? Sufficient for me. You know why sometimes you don't go and kill yourself? You know what you are going through? Some of you are going through some things that some people go through, they go and kill themselves. because of your perspective in life. I think when you do these social courses, these courses in psychology, they'll tell you some of the importance of religion, like what religion does, the kind of role it actually plays. Especially when it comes to the troubles in life. They'll give you the assurance, don't worry, God will do it. God will do it. And that will sustain you. Won't kill yourself for the next 30 years. Even if you don't see any change in your life, you still you won't give up on God. I think you shared a similar story to me with that man you like so much.
Is it
because
God is father?
Also. You pray for other people, you see a lot of things happening. But when it comes to your own matter, the grace of God is sufficient for you.
It won't kill you.
It won't kill you. Okay, so let's go. I'm really concerned about this part. So, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So look at this. Practically speaking, many of us think that we are doing the work of the Lord. He said, if ye bite and devour one another, he said, be careful that ye are not consumed. And you know what he said? He said, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that he cannot do the things that he would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. If you're not under the law, it means that you're not under bondage again. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Number one, adultery. 2, fornication. 3, uncleanness. 4, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is lust. Lust. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Amen. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, emulations, variance, seditions, heresies. As I'm mentioning, just analyze these things very well. Ask yourself, where do I fall? Just ask yourself, there's a reason why I'm doing this. One preacher started explaining some things. He was saying some very hard things. Very, very, very hard things. Sometimes even hatred amongst the brethren. It's not supposed to be part of us. It should be far away from us. Hallelujah. Hatred amongst the brethren. And sometimes you will not even know that it is hatred until you really scanned through your heart. Sometimes it's jealousy. Sometimes it's jealousy. Jealousy in the sense that a particular brother carries a peculiar grace. You too, you have your own. But by the time you realize, all sort of problems. This happened in the early church. This also happened in the times of, those God's generals when they lived. It is not everything that you would understand when it comes to the operations of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So there are certain operations of the Spirit. But when you read through the scripture, it speaks about diversities, right? Diversities of what? Operations. Diversities of operations. And these are all manifestations of the Spirit. A very good example, which I always like to mention, is the story of one great evangelist, Dowie, and then another preacher of God, a woman. And within the woman's ministry, you can see people falling under the power, manifesting, shouting cries. But within this healing minister's ministry, Dowie Alexander, his was more of healing, like diverse healings happening. Now, when one fails to understand what God is doing in the life of another man, because you might not have seen such manifestations in your meetings, you are likely to condemn whatever ministry that woman was actually manifesting. And number one, it can be because you are ignorant, because you might not know all the diversities of the operations of the Spirit of God. That's one. Number two, it might be that you are too proud and arrogant, hallelujah, to submit yourself to know about the move of God or to even learn about the move of God. Number three, it can be purely envy and jealousies and contentions and just little things. But this thing has always happened where now people of the same body, because of the different operations and the manifestations found in the ministry, in their ministries due to their individual uniqueness or God-given potential, now people begin to hurt themselves. And it can become very, very messy. And you know what happens when this thing is happening. Now, the main goal which we have been called for, which is to advance the kingdom agenda, now, that now becomes something we less focus on. Something we focus less on. And then we now try to sort out our individual problems with the kind of manifestations we are seeing, even in our meetings. So, as a minister of God, the these are some of the things that you need to deal with. Sometimes it's so understandable that even the preachers or that spearheading whatever movie it is, they even understand themselves. But rather on the lower scale amongst the people, now it becomes something else. It becomes pure carnality, like pure carnality. So if the right teachings are not there to bring things into perspective, we begin to create very, 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 very huge factions within the church of God. And that is not godly. Are you here with me? I'm trying to prove something to you then. Let us walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let us walk in the Spirit. If we are doing all things as unto the Lord, as inspired by the Spirit of the Lord, that is fine. Once you are in your clear conscience that you are doing the will of God. But if you weigh things and you realize that this, maybe you find yourself going to walk a little in the flesh, you need to advise yourself and restrain yourself. Do you understand? Always weigh the motive of your actions. Not just because, okay, hey, I feel that. No, just sit down, relax. Weigh the reason why. Am I doing it because I think I'm proud or I'm arrogant? Or am I doing it because of jealousy and envy? Or am I doing it because I want to actually teach the body of Christ something? And then what is the scripture? What are the scriptures also saying concerning that matter? It said, walk in the Spirit. Okay. So those are the works of the flesh. Then envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's not a kingdom inheriting character. Now look, now this is what we need to apply. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. It's gentleness. It's goodness. It's faith. It's meekness. It's temperance. So now let's look at this. So imagine you are a child of God and you are addressing all issues through this. How will you address such a matter? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Let's go. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, which is patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Hallelujah. So, if we are to do anything, we should do it in what? The fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you are saying that, okay, well, I'm not operating in the flesh. I'm not operating. Okay, I don't have envy. I'm not jealous. I'm not having pride. I'm not arrogant. You can deny all of these things. So now let's apply from the spiritual side. So as a spiritual man, in all that you do, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It said, against such, there is no one. Lord. We can go to 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So this is a word to all of us. if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Because now we all say that we live in the Spirit because we have believed in our Jesus. So now the practical life is that walk in the Spirit, meaning that bear the fruit of the Spirit. So let's be very, very mindful of the little leaven that easily corrupts. Leaven can mean corruption. Leaven can mean an introduction of sin. Leaven can mean substandard, not the true original weight or identity, packed with air, packed with yeast. That is where all this is. Or else, this is what is going to happen. Another man will rise. Another man will rise, all by the Spirit of God, but will end up doing nothing because of misunderstanding between us, and that will go in between our followers. And the Church of God, which is supposed to be advanced by you, by me, becomes stagnant. So, in your own eyes, you are carrying some level of momentum. In my own eyes, I'm also doing the work of God. But remember, the collective momentum is first. What I was trying to point out last Friday, the collective momentum is less. If the momentum is less, we are not going to have much impact. No matter how the speed you are flying with, we are not going to have much impact. We need the momentum. We need the collective power. Hallelujah. Any project, when you look through the scriptures, the building of the temple, the building of the Tower of Babel, the building of spiritual bodies. Let's look at the church of God. Let's look at even the movement, Exodus. Like, if it is not done collectively with one mind, one heart, we become very sluggish, and then by the time the project will soon die. Hallelujah. It's the reason why I've emphasized in Ephesians chapter 4. As part of our calling, that we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been born, called. And I made known to you there some of the indicators. Hallelujah. We need to know how to forbear one another in love. Or else, it is very disastrous. I've already given you the statistics of what is ongoing. And it's the truth. The statistics. And some men of God have seen it. They realize that, and trying to also caution the body of Christ, we end up saying things we shouldn't actually say. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
So, for instance, we say some of the statistics that these misunderstandings and backbitings and slanderings and fights amongst churches, fights amongst ministers, fights amongst brethren, we realize that it's actually causing it's slowing down the speed of the church, the advancement of the church. We realize that, but now in making reference to what we are not supposed to make reference to, it appears that you are giving more, it appears that you are promoting something else. So let us learn how to preserve what God has given to us. Each man must play his role in the body of Christ. When you look at what happened, what did he do? He went down as a seed. And what is the purpose? That he will come out as a mini member of body. That is the goal. So why then all the divisions? It is carnal. No matter what we want to achieve, remember, it should not be done in anything called the works of the flesh. All should be filtered through the the fruits of the Spirit. Are you here with me? Let's get started. Let's not corrupt what God is doing or what God has done. It is too much. It is. By now, we should be tired. We should be tired of whatever is going on. We should be tired of whatever is going on. It's too much. Are we not ashamed? It's just too much.
I will worship you forever. praise God.
Yeah.